ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Chanting together this morning text 6 from chapter 23, the Brahmana's wives blessed. Bhumi Deva Shrunuta,
Bhumi Deva Shrunuta,
Krishnasya Desha Karinaha,
Krishnasya Desha Karinaha,
Raptanjanita Badrambo,
Raptanjanita Badrambo,
Gopano Rama Choditan,
Gopano Rama Choditan.
Translation: the cowherd boys said, O earthly gods, please hear us. We cowherd boys are executing the order of Krishna, and we have been sent here by Balarama. We wish all good for you. Please acknowledge our arrival.
Gopabalaru yudanga cheptunaru o bhumi devulara.
Purport by Srila Prabhupada. The term bhumi Deva, or gods on earth, refers here to the brahmanas who are supposed to closely represent the will of the Supreme Lord. The philosophy of Krishna consciousness is not a primitive polytheistic doctrine holding that human beings on earth are gods. Rather, it is a science that traces the descent of authority from the Absolute Truth Himself, Sri Krishna. The authority and power of God naturally extend along with the extension of His creation. And on earth, the Lord's will and authority are represented by purified, enlightened men called brahmanas. This account will illustrate that the ritualistic brahmanas approached by the cowherd boys were not at all properly enlightened and thus could not appreciate the position of Krishna and Balaram or that of their intimate associates. Last sentence. In fact, this pastime exposes the pretentious position of the so-called brahmanas who are not faithful devotees of the Supreme Lord. Omagyana Timarandasya Gananjana Surakaya Chakshura Niditam Jena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manovistam Stapitam Yena Bhutare Svayam Rupa Gadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. We have to end at 8, right? Okay. There were 2 or 3 verses from the previous chapter on Krishna stealing the garments of the gopis that we didn't finish, or you didn't finish, and then the beginning of this chapter on Krishna's giving blessings to the wives of the brahmanas. We'll start with these verses here. The Jiva Goswami explains that the cowherd boys pretended that they were hungry because they thought Krishna and Balaram might be hungry, but they won't say it. So we'll say we're hungry so they can make some arrangements so we can give some nice prasadam to Krishna and Balaram. Krishna's immediate thought was, let me make some special glorification and reciprocation with the wives of the brahmanas. Krishna could have sent the cowherd boys to the wives of the brahmanas directly. Why didn't Krishna do that? He's thinking of the well-being of the wives of the brahmanas. The cowherd boys are asking for something to eat. Send them to the wives of the brahmanas so they can do some seva. Why Krishna didn't do that? Instead, he sent the cowherd boys to the brahmanas who were doing a karma kanda yajna for attaining heaven. Specifically, Krishna said that their They're doing a Vedic yagya, an Agni Rasa yagya to attain heaven. Go there, invoke my name and Balaram's name and say, we're hungry, can you supply us something? What's the duty of a grihastha? Principal duty of a grihastha. Sometimes grihasthas ask, what's our primary duty? As devotees, we worship Krishna, but as grihasthas, there's a grihastha duty, and that is to give in charity. Here come some small boys asking for some charity. They're very learned grihasthas, they're brahmanas, they understand what is their duty. What to speak of, they're asking in the name of Krishna and Balaram personally. These brahmanas are so puffed up and proud, they're not even acknowledging the boy's presence. The boys are having to ask them, please acknowledge that we exist. We've come to request some charity. Krishna wants to remove pride from the heart of those who should be qualified but aren't there yet.
బ్రాహ్మణ పత్రులు ఎవరైతే ఉన్నారో వాళ్ళ పట్ల కృష్ణుడు దయ చూపిస్తున్నాడు. ఆ దయలో ఒక భాగం ఏంటంటే ఆ బ్రాహ్మణులు ఎవరైతే ఉన్నారో వాళ్ళని కూడా ఉద్ధరించాలి.
In the purport it's being explained that there is a system of power and authority that comes from the supreme creator of all that exists. In this acknowledgement of power and authority, it refers to the brahmanas as gods on earth.
యజమాన్యాన్ని శక్తిని దృష్టిలో ఉంచుకొని ఈ బ్రాహ్మణులు ఏమంటున్నారంటే భూమి దేవులు అని చెప్పి అంటున్నారు.
There it is, Bhumi Deva. Hey, Bhumi Deva, Shrinuta, please hear, O gods on earth. So the purport is explaining Krishna consciousness, or the Bhagavatam, is certainly not teaching man is God. That's not the teaching. Or that there are many gods. That's not the Bhagavatam teaching. There's another teaching that says God, or the absolute truth, is the source of everything.
Kani ikkada manaki cheppetuvanti
aham sarvasya prabhavo matak sarvam pravartate. The absolute truth means that which is the source of everything. And when Krishna brings forth the creation, he empowers other living beings with his power and authority, both to manage the creation and also to give knowledge about the creator of the creation. The means to achieve the supreme is also provided.
అంటే
the means to achieve the supreme is by devotional service, taking those things that we have received from him and offering them to him. He doesn't need our offerings. Rather, we need to make the offerings. We benefit by making offerings to the supreme. Within this system of power and authority that's descending, there's a class of persons called brahmanas who are to know what is Brahman and to know what is supreme. That's their service to the other members of society. Brahmanas are commonly also called vipra, or very learned. Those who are very learned are not only supposed to have theoretical understanding, but they're also to have practical realization. Practical realization means when there's some point of examination, that is, what's the purpose behind the activity that a brahmana is doing, it's to satisfy the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Just like the incident with Romaharshan Sutta, who was a disciple of Vyasadeva and was entrusted, because of his qualification as a brahmana, with all of the Puranic literature, that portion which Vedavyas compiled, was given and entrusted to Romaharshan. Now, what is the purpose of the Vedas? Vedais chasayar vayar aham eva vedyo vedantakrit vedavid eva chaham. Krishna states in the 15th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, the purpose of the Vedas is to know him. So now Romaharshan has a portion of the Vedas, the purpose of which is to know him, and he's reciting the Vedas, he's reciting the Puranic portion that he's been given by Vyas. Now into the assembly where he's speaking comes Balaram. And his students are very nicely trained. They all stand and rise to greet Balaram. Well, everyone stood up except one person, Ramaharshan Sutta. He was thinking, I'm engaged in reciting the Puranic literature of the Vedas entrusted to me by Vyas, and so I have to continue doing this noble work. This demonstrated to Balaram that Ramaharshan was not qualified. So Balaram relieved him of his pride, and he relieved him of his life. Because Krishna does not like to see pride in the heart of his devotee. Krishna doesn't like to see pride in the heart of a brahmana who is also supposed to be knowing the absolute truth and thus be a devotee. Unfortunately, some persons have the title of brahmana without the qualification of brahmana. That's a problem. It's a problem for them, and it's a problem for the persons who are looking to them for guidance and direction. Fortunately, the brahmanas who were doing their Agni Hotra Yajna, they didn't get the same result as Krishna. Ramaharshan Sutta. But whether Balaram kills Ramaharshan Sutta or Krishna kills the pride of the wives of the brahmanas, kills the pride of the brahmanas in a different way, it's mercy or it's mercy. There was a very significant historical event in the life of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, wherein he was called upon to settle a dispute between learned persons. Without going into the details, in principle, you know when a group of people that hold a certain view and another group of people that hold a different view, and those two different views clash, and some of them are very smart and intellectual and some are very smart and intellectual, it can get very hot. We've seen it. Some of the issues that the caste-born brahmanas were holding is the Pancharatrika section of the Vedas that allows persons who are not born in brahmana families to become qualified in various ways. There's limits to those qualifications. They can't perform Vedic sacrifices, for example. And they can't worship deity, for example. That was their point of view. So they were saying, stop this violation of Vedic culture. And those that were following the Pancharatriki system were saying, you stop being bodily conscious and caste conscious and study the Vedas properly, and clash, big conflict. It got to the point where it was getting violent. People's safety and lives were at risk. You live here in India, you know how it goes. Not just village people that, you know, some little thing and they're, but intellectuals, it gets even more risky. Because of the approach that Bhaktivinoda Thakur had taken in his preaching, he had people in both groups that respected him, and they wanted him to settle the matter. At the time, Bhaktivinoda Thakur was very, very ill. He was bedridden for a long time, and was lamenting, is there nobody on the face of this planet that has the spiritual substance that can settle this matter? And he was in greater grief about the paucity, the absence of spiritual substance on earth than he was about his physical ailment. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, his son, came to know of this disturbed state of heart of Bhakti, his father, Bhaktivinoda Thakur. So he asked his father, if you instruct me, I will go and I will speak and address this matter. Right away, Bhaktivinoda Thakur said, yes, you have the qualification, you go. You are my son, the son will represent the father, you can do this properly. Perhaps you have in your bookstall or in your library Brahmanism and Vaishnavism. It's an essay about that big that Bhaktisiddhanta wrote on this topic for that occasion. I'll very quickly summarize the theme of that book. It's in two parts. The first part is glorifying Brahmanas. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur spent a whole day, he was given 2 days, a whole day glorifying Brahmanas with scriptural reference and detailed explanations and innuendos and subtleties and, you know, brilliant exposition on the greatness of Brahmanas. By the end of the day, the Brahmanas were going, yay! He understands how great we are! We're great, and he knows all about it. He's the right person to address this problem. The next day, went on the other side. The next day, he was saying, however, a Brahmana means one who knows Brahman, and Brahman in the ultimate stage is Bhagavan. So a qualified Brahmana becomes a Vaishnava. But there may be Brahmanas that don't become Vaishnava, and those Brahmanas are less qualified than the Vaishnavas. And one who is a Vaishnava is already a Brahmana, and gave so many scriptural references and compelling explanation, very powerfully presented, and the Brahmanas were defeated. At the end, both sides were so impressed by Bhaktisiddhanta's elevated scholarship and grasp of the situation. Both sides giving a standing ovation for 15 minutes, just plauding and praising his wonderful accomplishment. Then Bhaktisiddhanta wanted to leave, and he was trying to get out of the assembly, and everybody wanted to come and touch his feet. But he had a very strict practice. He would never let people touch his feet. It started to become a riot. The police had to come. The police got a big container of water and stuck his feet in the water. Sprinkled the water over everybody, let him get out safely. Here's the point in relation to this Bhagavatam verse. A Brahmana has a certain responsibility in relation to the rest of society. A qualified Brahmana is invested with certain power and authority by the Supreme Lord because they know the message of the Vedas and the purpose of the Vedas. A truly qualified Brahmana is a Vaishnava. And one who is not respecting the Supreme Absolute Truth, Personality of Godhead, is Brahmana in name only. Now that's a strong statement, especially in South India. So many persons, just on our way, one man sitting there, anyway, people doing all kinds of things in the name of Brahminical Seva, and it's not, it's something else. With this pastime, Krishna wanted to elevate them, and he did. They became elevated by two effects. One was the pride was removed from their heart, and the other is that they respected the very unique and special qualification of their wives. And what was that special qualification of their wives? Their wives had never seen Krishna before. They had heard about Krishna. We've also heard about Krishna. They also had love for Krishna based on their hearing about Krishna. And they had a very strong desire to serve Krishna based on that love for Krishna. Because of that love and their desire to serve Krishna, Krishna gave them the opportunity to directly do so. He lifted them up and honored them to such a degree that they were able to lift up their husbands.
What?
Now we'll go back to the last couple of verses in the previous chapter. It directly relates to this subject. After Krishna had taken the garments of the gopis and one by one had given the garments back to the gopis and accepted them as intimate associates and promised them that later he would marry them, that Leela had been completed. Krishna was walking with the calves with his young cowherd boys, and he was appreciating the beautiful forest of Vrindavan. In particular, Krishna was appreciating the trees in Vrindavan. He said, just see how these trees are maintaining every living entity. Their birth is successful. Their behavior is just like that of great personalities. For anyone who asks anything from a tree never goes away disappointed. These trees fulfill one's desires with their leaves, flowers, fruits, shade, roots, bark, wood, and their fragrance, sap, ashes, pulp, and shoots. In other words, service. And then he speaks a very important verse. It is the duty of every living being to perform welfare activities for the benefit of others with his life, wealth, intelligence, and words. This is such an important verse that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu refers to this verse when he's speaking about inaugurating his Sankirtan movement or distributing the fruits of the tree of love of God, live very liberally to anyone and everyone, by saying, by this Sankirtan, by the congregational chanting of the holy name, by this Hare Krishna movement, people will become benefited. I'll become a pious person by encouraging others to do so, and then my name will be heard in all corners and everyone will be benefited. And then he said like this, this verse. We'll have to speak more about it later because the clock keeps moving and Didi Darshan is going to happen very soon. Four things that are mentioned that we should bear in mind, ways in which we can serve Krishna. There are ways in which we can serve Krishna and ways in which we can help others to serve Krishna also. When we're engaged in our preaching work, the highest surrender is someone gives their life. If they can't give their life, they can give some of their wealth to help the work of those who are giving their life. If for some reason giving wealth is difficult, then they can give their intelligence to help further the cause of those who are dedicating their lives. At least they can give their words of appreciation of these Hare Krishna devotees have made such a beautiful temple and they're doing such nice work with their food for life and they're taking care of the guests that come to Tirupati, etc. Whether we're preaching or just existing in this world, if we can act in such a way that after coming in contact with Srila Prabhupada's followers, if they say, oh, those Hare Krishna people are very nice, they're making spiritual progress. And if we act in such a way, they say the opposite. Those Hare Krishna people, they're very aggressive, insensitive, not very nice people. Their philosophy is very nice, but their behavior is not so nice. That's disservice to others. So we should act day-to-day life in such a way people will appreciate the Hare Krishna movement, even if they don't even know who we are, what our teachings are. We should act in such a way that it's pleasing and so that people, by their words, will appreciate and they will make spiritual progress. This Bhagavatam verse fits in perfectly with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Shikshastakam. Trinadapi sunichena turor iva sahishnuna amanina manadena kirtaniya sadahari. So the second turor api sahishnuna is exactly what what Krishna is glorifying. These trees are like sages. And if devotees can be like those trees, where our whole existence is just to serve others, in such a way, give our body, give our words, give our mind, give our lives, give our wealth, give our intelligence, at least give our words and encourage others to do the same. That's the Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Sankirtan movement. In a nutshell, that one verse, very nice verse. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Hari Hari Bhagavatam.
జోలింగ స్వరూపాద్ మహారాజ్ కి శ్రీల ప్రభుపాద్ కి ఇతాయి గౌర్ పరమ.